Thank you, Greg. I don't want to take away from what he shared. I'm going to keep mine as short as possible and simple. The thing that I've been pondering this past week is why Jesus spoke in parables. And I know in my life at different times, I'm reading the Bible and I don't understand. And what was my response at those times? Well, there's times in my life when I was younger, my teenage years, in my 20s, I would just kind of keep going or close it up and do my own thing, do something else. I don't have an understanding. I'm just going to move on. But it's, who are the secrets of the Lord revealed to those who fear him? And Jesus spoke in parables for a purpose. And I wanted to find out why. Why did he speak? So in certain ways, it wasn't plain. It was, you had to, you know, dig into it. Or who did he reveal these things to? In Matthew 13, after he spoke about the parable of the sower, a familiar parable, I won't read that one, but in verse 10, it says, Matthew 13:10, and the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he answered and said, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, 'Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts, and turn so that I should heal them.'" Those words can be sound a little bit complicated. Even that can be a parable in itself. But when we think about the disciples, it had been given to them to understand. Why? Why were they allowed to get some explanation? I mean, they were with Jesus, so they could go into the other. There's a few times they would go into another room after Jesus spoke, and they said, "Hey, Jesus, can you please explain to us this parable?" And he would give them some explanation and some more understanding. He said, "You know, to you it's been given to know the secrets." As I mentioned in that verse, it says the secrets of the Lord in Psalm 25:14 is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Someone who fears the Lord, what does someone who fears the Lord have? What is it? What's so special about fearing the Lord? It says in Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So when you fear the Lord, you get some understanding. But it says in Proverbs 8, verse 13, it says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. So, there's a big difference between having head knowledge and understanding here. You can't, it says in Matthew 11, in verse 25, it says, at that time, Jesus answered and said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent," or the wise and intellectual, "and have revealed them to babes." Right before that, he's rebuking the unrepentant cities. Like, all these wonderful works and miracles were being done. And most of the, and people did not believe. Jesus was doing miracles, he says in verse 20 of Matthew 11. And began to rebuke the cities in which most of his mighty works had been done, because they didn't repent. If you tie these things together, you can see that if we're unrepentant, we're not obedient, and we're reading the Bible, it's all going to be just like we talked about on Friday. It's just a veil. There will be no understanding. So why did he speak in parables? So that those who are hungry, those who want to know the truth, will seek him out. those who come to him with a humble, as a babe, right? It says in Matthew 18, you know, it says he revealed them to babes, right? You just read that? In Matthew 18, it says in verse 2, then Jesus called a little child to him and set him in the midst of them and said, assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as a little child, as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. What does it mean to become as a little child? What does it mean to become a babe? Whoever humbles himself as this little child is greatest in the kingdom. A little child has humility. Humble ourselves. A little babe, when you look at a newborn babe, there's a purity there. They haven't been exposed to the things of the world. They haven't seen things on the internet. They haven't seen things. They haven't been exposed to temptation and stumblings. And there's a purity. So it says back to Matthew 13, whoever has, to him more will be given. To whoever has understanding, to the one who hears and obeys, hears and has a humble heart and a purity of heart, they will receive more understanding of who he is, of who Jesus is. And that's our all in all, is to know him, to know Christ. To not be just reading and saying, oh, I don't understand, so I'm just going to move on and do something else. But to be like, Lord. Another characteristic of a child, everyone with children has experienced this when they become a certain age where they start talking and inquiring and learning and asking. And there's so many why this and why that. And, you know, can I ask you this? And what is this? And sometimes we don't even know the answer. You know, about you ask so many different things, and we may not know the answer, but we'll do the best we can and say, well, I don't know exactly, but this, and we try and explain it to them. Children are curious and want to learn and want to know. There's a purity and humility and an asking, and that is the key to having the word revealed to us. That's why the disciples, they would go and they'd ask, Lord, explain to us. And the other thing that was why it was revealed to the disciples is because they had forsaken all to follow him. You see that in Mark chapter 10. Peter began in verse 28. Peter began to say to him, see, we have left all and followed you. So Jesus said, assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house, brothers, sisters, father, mother, wife, or children, or lands for my sake in the Gospels, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, and children, and lands, with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. They had forsaken all. They had left their nets. I remember when Lisa was at UBC and she took a course on Paul. It was a biblical course at UBC, and the professor was an unbeliever teaching a course and knew everything about, you know, Paul's, you know, the history. But an unbeliever teaching this, but he had no revelation from the Spirit, no understanding of the truth of the gospel. See, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in verse 21, for since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. See, it says, in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God. So it's not the intellectual who's going to know God. It's those who forsake all, who are seeking and asking and knocking and obeying what we know. And it's kind of a scary thing, you know. It says to him who does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. That means the knowledge and understanding we do have, if we don't obey what we've learned, it will be taken. Even that understanding will be taken away. We need to abide in his word. Obey his word. Be obedient to him. And now, he speaks the same thing in Mark chapter 4 and also in Luke chapter 8. And I want to go to Luke chapter 8 quickly. Probably finish in a few minutes here in Luke chapter 8. It's very interesting. He's talking about the parable of the sower again, the same account. And he says in verse 15, now this is the one that received the seed on good ground. What does the good soil represent? Verse 15, the seeds that fell on the good ground are those who having heard the word with a noble and a good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. You see, you hear the word, but the heart is good. The heart is humble. The heart has a purity, a desire to hear and learn and follow. And they keep it. They seize it. They cling to it. They hold on to it. They value it. And now it's very interesting what he says right after, because we can separate these things, because of maybe there's a separation or a title, different title in our Bible. But it runs into it. And I didn't understand this next part until Alan Martin came and shared it a couple years ago, Whitney's dad. It says in verse 16, no one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but sets it on a lampstand that those who enter may see the light. Nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light. Therefore, take heed how you hear. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him. So we can, you know, we've read similar verses in other areas, but it's talking about something different. There's another passage, he's talking about the hypocrisy of the Pharisees, and then he talks about how everything that's going to come to light and be revealed. But in this context, it's something different. If you look in verse 15 when it says, they heard the word with a noble and good heart, and they keep it and bear fruit. They obey it. They abide. Those who are hearing the word and obeying it, is the Lord is going to reveal his secrets to them. Nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be made known. He's going to reveal his truths and his secrets. And the parables will now start to be explained into our hearts. It will not be hidden. And that's encouraging. He wants to reveal his truth. He wants to open the scriptures to us. He wants to give us understanding. As it says right after in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it might be chapter 2, but then let me just see. Yeah, chapter 2, after he's saying that he doesn't reveal, it's the wisdom of the world is not going to understand. He says in chapter 2, he talks about spiritual wisdom. And he says in verse 9, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. It's the Spirit that reveals the things of God. The Spirit of God searches the deep things of God and will reveal this to us. Now it says in Acts chapter 5, and you can find the verse, it says, the Holy Spirit is given to those who obey him. It's an interesting verse. We also know the Holy Spirit is given to those who repent and believe, and he'll pour out a Spirit. But those who repent and believe will then start walking in obedience. So as we obey in the word that we read and the little understanding that we have, we start to walk in it. He will give us more understanding and more light. and he will reveal himself to us. Just as we read in Matthew 11, where he said he's hidden these things from the intellectual and the worldly wise and revealed them to babes. That's encouraging because, you know, not all of us have a lot of I don't have a lot of intellectual wisdom. I'm not a wise man in the flesh. But I can be saved. I can understand deep things of God because he can reveal them to us through his Spirit as we walk in purity and in desire and ask and inquire and seek him. It says in John 7, verse 17, it says, if we will to do his will, then we'll know concerning the doctrine. If anyone wills to do his will, if anyone has a desire, they want to do God's will, they want to genuinely want to know, what's the truth? Is it this or is it that or is it that? Some people are seeking all over. You know, they're looking in the Quran. They're looking in this book, this book. They want to know the truth. If you really want to know the truth, Jesus will reveal it to you. If you want to do his will, not your own will, he will reveal the truth to you. And you'll know concerning the doctrine, whether it's from God or whether I speak on my own authority. He's talking to Israelites who didn't believe that Jesus was the Savior. They're waiting for some king to come on a horse and come and defeat the Romans. But Jesus came on a donkey and let his own people crucify him. Yet he had the power to lay down his life and he had the power to pick it up again. The key is, do we will to do his will? We'll know concerning the doctrine. That's encouraging. And he will reveal the secrets of the Lord to us. He doesn't want to keep them hidden to us. He wants to reveal them to us. And he will reveal them by his Spirit. For the Spirit of God searches the deep things of God. Deep calls unto the deep, says in one of the Psalms. At the noise of your waterfalls, deep calls unto deep. And that means there's times that he allows these waterfalls. Sometimes, you know, if there's a beautiful little waterfall, you might stand under it. But if that waterfall is really pouring down, you can't stand under it. But at the noise of your waterfalls, that's the tumultuous times in our life. The Lord allows so that the deep part of me, the deepest part of me will cry out to the deepest part of God. I want to know you, God. Help me in this time. You've allowed these waterfalls. You've allowed these times of difficulty so that I'll call out and cry out to you that I might know you. The power of your resurrection, the fellowship of your sufferings. So yeah, that passage in Luke 8, take heed how you hear. And then I'll finish in Mark 4. Same verse, a little different twist. Mark 4, verse 24. Again, right after this, the sower, the seed. In verse 24, he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you, and to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, but whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away. I've read that in three different Gospels now. He repeats it three times in the Bible. It's very important. There's a repetition. There's a repeating of the same verses because it's important. Now we're supposed to, with the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. You know what that means? It means the amount you value what you read, the amount you pay attention and listen to what we are reading and desiring to understand, he will give us the understanding. That's what it means. In the New Living, it says, pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given, and you will receive even more. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But to those who are not listening, when I say listening, it's not the ears. It's going farther than just the ears. It's going, listening, and desiring with a purity of heart and a longing to do what he says. And it's going into the heart. That one will receive more understanding. He speaks in parables to hide it from those who have no desire to obey. He speaks in parables to hide it from those who just want knowledge but don't want to turn from sin. But to those who are desiring to know him, their eyes will be opened. He will reveal it to them, to us, by his Spirit. And he wants to reveal the hidden things of God. And if we kept reading in Matthew 11, after he rebukes him and says he reveals them to the babes, he says, come to me. Come to me, all you who weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Everyone come to me. Everyone who's willing. It's not that he's not willing. Everyone who is willing to turn from our ways, turn from our own deeds, our own will, come to him. And he, when we'll learn from him, and the thing that we need to learn is, he says, for I'm gentle and I'm humble. That's the most important things we got to learn. I tell you, in a marriage, it's manifest. Are we humble? You know, we can think that it's our spouse that's wrong. We can think that we're right all the time. Are we willing to humble ourselves first? That marriage will stay together, you know. I don't know the exact stats, but I think there's about 50% of marriages break up. And I don't think there's that much of a separation between Christian and unchristian, because not everyone who professes to know Christ is actually born again. But in a godly household, the humble will come and apologize and make it right, even when you think the other one, even when there's you can see things maybe in the other person. Look to yourself. Pick out the plank out of your own eye. First and foremost, before you can even see clearly about the other person's speck. And your marriage, our marriages will be sound. You know, it says that God, he made them one. Husband and wife, he made them one. And why did he make them one? Because he desired godly offspring. Are our children going rebellious? We need to question whether there's unity in the home. Husband and wife in unity and godliness will produce godly offspring. So humble ourselves. Don't go to bed with anything, any tension in a marriage, any tension at all, and allow that to fester. Make it right immediately. So, the more we value what we read, the more understanding. And that's the thing I wanted to speak about. It's just value his word. Value, pay close attention to what he's saying. When you read it, the little understanding we get, walk in it. He'll give you more understanding. Abide in it. That's where there's an abundance. That's where the abundant life will be. There's a measure, as Greg shared, the grace, all sufficiency of grace. All sufficiency of grace is available to us. Why are some of us not experiencing it? Because we're not walking the things that we've read. And so that's my encouragement for myself. That's the things that I've learned. You know, I got convicted as I was reading through, and you know, there's times I'm like, man, I feel like I used to understand some of these things more, and I don't understand. And then I see some notes in my column, and oh yeah, those were good notes from 10 years ago. I forgot about that. How could I not growing in knowledge and understanding of the Lord? I've lost focus. I've allowed some sin to come into my life and to blind me. Lord, I repent. I want to know you. I want to grow day by day.